Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
Good morning, guys. All right, I want you to turn to someone on one side of you and tell them Merry Christmas. Now turn to the other side and tell the other side, Merry Christmas. I just want you to realize if you were the one they said Merry Christmas to second, you were their second choice. Just saying. Don't hold bitterness about that today. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. I want to start off with just us asking the Lord to speak to our hearts. So if you would, just for a moment, while you're turning, maybe just pause for a moment and let's pray together. Lord, speak to our hearts. That, Lord, you would speak to me on what you have for my life. That, Lord, today I would grow, Lord, in you. And I would learn, Lord, the value and how to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a young boy who desperately wanted a bike for Christmas. How many of you ever had something you wanted so bad for Christmas? He kept asking his mom and dad, kept asking, and finally it got to the point where they wanted to teach him a lesson on prayer. So they said, hey, why don't you go upstairs and instead of asking us, you write a letter to Jesus and pray and ask Jesus for a bike. The little boy didn't like the answer at all. Immediately threw a temper tantrum. His parents, you know, disciplined him and sent him to his room to think about his actions. And he sat up there, and after a few minutes, he calmed down and he thought, you know what, I'm going to try what my parents said. So he begins to write a letter to Jesus, and it says, Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year, and I would love a new bicycle. Can you see that my parents will get me a bicycle for Christmas? Your friend, Johnny. This went on for a while of him talking to the Lord and him not getting a bike, his parents not coming into his room. And so he began to think, you know what? I haven't really been a good boy this year. I threw a temper tantrum. I've talked back to mom and dad. I got in trouble at school. I haven't done my homework. And he realized I haven't been a good boy. So he takes the letter. He wads it up. He throws it in the trash can. He goes downstairs to where his mom had put the nativity scene on the mantle. And he takes the statue of Mary, wraps it in a blanket, throws it underneath his bed. And he sits down and he writes another letter. Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, give me that bicycle. Don't we find ourselves in that situation far too often? Is that we pray and we don't hear from God in the timing that we want or in the way that we want, and we kind of take things into our own hands. That we see that far too often. And how many of you in here, you wish that it was easier to hear from God? You wish that it was easier to discern God's will and to hear his voice and to understand what he wants for our lives, both in the short term and the long term, that we wish it was easier to hear God's voice. And we also wish that it was easier to discern what the future would be. We want to know what the future is, but outside of heaven, that it's a mystery. It's a story in many ways that's still yet to be written in our lives. And we all try to imagine what tomorrow holds. And sometimes we imagine it with joy and with anticipation and with excitement. And sometimes we anticipate the future with fear and dread. But we want to know, but none of us can know for sure what's going to happen. The future is an uncertain place. But I think the Lord would want us to know this, that he wants us to know there is a secure place with the Lord in an insecure future. There is a certain place in our relationship with him in an uncertain future. And I think that we see that in the life of Joseph. You see, Joseph had found himself in an incredibly uncertain situation. That him and Mary had gone through sudden and dramatic change. And even in the midst of that change, God is saying, I want you to go through more. In fact, they had planned to get married. And then Joseph finds out that his wife is pregnant and he plans to put her away, or his fiance, he plans to put her away quietly when he could have, by law, shamed her publicly. And then God appears to him in a dream and says, she's pregnant, miraculously, take her to be your wife. And he does that. And then he marries her. And not only then, they've got to now walk to Bethlehem for a census that the government is taking. I don't know about you, but that journey with a pregnant lady doesn't sound fun at all. And even though they went through a ton of transition, God was asking them to embrace even more. And look, we know that Joseph heard from God. In fact, in a verse in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, if you want to read that on your sheets, follow along on the screens or in your Bible, it says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he says, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to try to kill him.' So Joseph got up, he took his child and the mother during the night, and they left for Egypt." I really believe that in our hearts, we want to hear from God. We want God to speak for us and to know with certainty his plan for our life, his voice for our life, his direction for our life. We want to know. But I think there's a few things we need to understand about hearing from God in order for us to prepare our hearts to truly hear what he's speaking to us. Number one, if you're taking notes today, is this, is that just because we hear from God, it doesn't always make it easier, but God provides. You see, we want God to speak to us and for suddenly that to make everything easy, for it to make it smooth sailing, that it's easy going, easy stepping one after the other. But maybe we're having trouble hearing from God at times because our paradigms and expectations are incorrect. You see, God speaks to Joseph, but here's what he speaks to him. He says, "Get up right now in the middle of the night with your wife and your small baby to get up right now and go to Egypt." That's not easier. The truth is, that's a little more difficult. It wasn't, "Hey, push the snooze alarm, sleep till 11:30, get your rest in, make sure and go to the Continental breakfast there that the Holiday Inn Express is having, and get, you know, fill up, and then leisurely make your way to Egypt, you know, if you want to." No, what God spoke to him was, "Get up right now, the middle of the night, and make your way to Egypt, because you know what? Herod's trying to kill your baby." And for us, that we need to understand, that's not an easy thing for him to do, because he's going to Egypt, and though Egypt has some Jewish settlements in Alexandria and some other places, it's not like Israel. They didn't worship Yahweh. They worshiped multiple other gods or multiple other idols, that it wasn't necessarily their culture and what they were used to. And so they go to this place that wasn't an easier setting, but the truth is, was a more difficult setting for them to live. It wasn't an easy move, but Joseph did it. And I want you to listen to what happened right before this in order that it would allow them to follow the Lord and be obedient. It says this in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. It says, "On coming to the house, the wise men saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. Then they opened up their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now, Joseph and Mary, here's the deal. They were able to follow the Lord in his leading because God provided the means for them to make the move. They were going from Bethlehem to a whole new land. And in order for them to make the journey, God said, "I know I'm going to do this. I know I'm going to lead you, but I'm going to provide so that when you go, you have the means to live while you're there." Isn't that amazing that God's speaking to him something difficult, but he's provided for the journey before he even goes? And so today, I want to tell you that when God speaks to you, he's going to provide for you every step of the way. That when God's speaking, he doesn't always make it easier. Within our church today is even Rachel sitting right over here, that she's a trauma nurse at Parkland, successful in her career, and she could continue in that field doing noble things, an honorable task, and making incredible inroads in the medical field because of what she does. But yet God has spoken to her heart and has told her to uproot your life, go to a sensitive country in which it's illegal to share your faith, live there and share your faith for the next 3 years. God spoke to her, and that's not the easy thing to do. The easy thing would be to stay in her career where she's successful and experiencing advancement. But yet, out of our church again, God is calling another to go and to share their faith around the world where it might cost her freedom. Maybe God's asked you to start a business. Maybe God's asked you to go and share your faith with your neighbor. Maybe God is asking you to forgive that person that you are so bitter towards, that you've held a grudge since childhood because of how you were wronged. But God's saying, I want you to be obedient. He's speaking and saying, start that business though you don't see how. He's saying to forgive that person though you don't really want to. He's saying to go and to make that career change. Be obedient to the things he speaks to you because he will provide for you emotionally, financially, spiritually, relationally. He will provide every step of the way. God will provide. So the first thing we need to understand is that when God speaks, it's not necessarily going to make it easier, but I promise he'll provide for the journey along the way. Number two, if you're taking notes today, is that once you begin to hear from God, it makes it easier to hear from God. Here's the verse that I want us to read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19, 20, and 22. It says, Herod died and an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, go to Egypt. Now get up to your child and take his mother and go to the land of Israel. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to Galilee. So we hear multiple times right here and now that he is hearing from God when earlier that he heard from God when he said, hey, take Mary to be your wife. So he began to hear from God and step by step. So he said, hey, take Mary to be your wife. He obeyed. Get up and go to Egypt, and he obeyed. Go back to Israel, and he obeyed. That as you begin to hear God's voice, you begin to know God's voice even more fully. That once he broke the ice and he heard from the Lord, he heard multiple times. You begin to recognize God's direction. You begin to recognize his voice. You begin to respond and you become familiar with the voice of God. And it becomes this beautiful, comforting thing that you say, okay, I heard this. And was that just a thought in my mind? Was it bad pizza from last night? Or was it really the Lord speaking to me? You act on it, you obey, and when you obey, you see it work out for the positive, and suddenly you're going, oh, Todd, that was the same thing I felt when God spoke to me then. I'll be obedient this time as well. That when you hear God's voice and you respond, it allows you to be familiar with the voice of God and the things of God, and it helps you in the journey of following God. Now listen, I also want you to understand that God only provided limited direction to Joseph. Joseph obeyed God's revealed will in the moment, and he went back to Israel, but it was only limited direction. God didn't say where to go. He just said, go back to Israel. And as he went back in obedience, he just started to head back to where he was originally from. And when he gets there, he has limited direction to where he's supposed to go. And I want to tell you that sometimes we think it's so easy for Joseph because God said, go to Egypt. We think it's so easy because he said, hey, go back to Israel. We think it's so easy, but really he had limited direction in this. And he had to act in obedience. It's almost like our faith has to be active in that we respond and are obedient, and then he gives us another step. And we're active and obedient, and he gives us another step. But the same direction and help that he gave to Joseph, he gives to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. Every one of us, every believer has the same access to hearing from the voice of God. And when we do it, we'll better know the voice of God. But in talking about understanding the voice of God and hearing from God, number three, we need to understand this, is that sometimes we just have to use common sense. Sometimes it's just we have to have common sense and wisdom that's given to us from God. In Matthew 2, 22 and 23, it says this, when they heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So Joseph was told, go back to Israel. He went back to Israel, and where he was originally headed, he's suddenly like, oh, Archelaus is the son of Herod. Herod tried to kill my son, so Herod's son might still try to kill my son, so I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to another city in Galilee, away from Judea, in the city called Nazareth. Does that make sense? God didn't say necessarily don't go there. He was just using common sense to started the action of faith, started the obedience, going back home, and then he realizes, I better go over here. Does that make sense? Is that sometimes we just have to use common sense. Now, let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I was working a conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the middle of January. And I took my daughter Madison with me, and we were working this conference, and we were walking to a dinner in downtown Minneapolis during the conference. And as we get there, there's a picture up here, we'll pull it up, that as you look at the temperature is -6 degrees. That's not a mistake. It's -6 degrees. And so when I walk out the door, and I know that it's -6 walking out the door, I didn't have to have God go, you know what, Michael? Thus saith the Lord, put on some gloves. Thus saith the Lord, Michael, put on a beanie or a toboggan, wear a warm shirt underneath your coat, and Michael, you might even want to put on some long johns, thus saith the Lord. No, it's common sense. I'm layering, baby, and what you don't see, I've got a beanie, I've got a scarf, I scarfed it up, I don't care if it's manly or not, I was wearing a scarf because I was cold. I didn't have to have God speak to me. It's common sense. You put on extra clothes. And sometimes in our life that we don't have to have God say, thus saith Dan, do this. Thus saith Claude, do this. Sometimes we use the wisdom that God has given us in our lives. Sometimes we use the wisdom that he has placed in us to make good decisions. In fact, that's why our character development, our spiritual growth is so incredibly important. It's what we talked about last week, Joseph's character and how we develop that character. It's why it's so important, because there are things in life where God says, do this, go here. There are things in the Word where God says, there are a few things he says absolutely do. There's a few things he says absolutely don't do. But there's all this white space that we have to fill in the blanks in some ways ourselves based on principles in Scripture. And so in the things of your life where God is not saying, go do this, or walk there, or say that, and in those places, are we using God's wisdom to fill in the white space of life? Are we making godly choices, wise choices, good choices, common sense choices that would be positive? Tamara and I needed God's wisdom to raise our kids, and we still have one, and we need God's wisdom. And there were a few times where God would say, hey, Mom, Dad, go check on your daughters. Go to their room. Go upstairs and check on them right now. And we would. And we'd go check on them and we'd pray with them or whatever. But there were lots of times that in this journey of raising kids to be adults who love God, that's the goal. Never to raise good kids, but to raise godly adults. That in this journey of raising godly adults, that we did things not because God specifically told us in the moment, but we did things because we knew that it was wise to that would help them discover Jesus, love Jesus, and be connected to the family of God. Sometimes we just go upstairs and read to them. Sometimes we go upstairs and pray for them. Sometimes we just go upstairs and just hang out with them in order to help them know God, love God, to grow into balanced, healthy adults. And so in the office, are you making wise, common sense decisions? In your family, in your relationships, are you making wise, common sense, godly decisions? Sometimes we overcomplicate it. When God has given us a general direction and we live that out, we develop character, we make common sense decisions and move forward in the grace and love and compassion of God as the Holy Spirit guides us along the way. That sometimes we want in every moment distinct, God, what should I do? And he's saying, hey, I have a revealed will of how I want you to live, and you move forward in that grace. So something else we need to understand about hearing from God is that as we move toward God, it requires flexibility in our lives. Joseph had to be flexible in his plans. Things changed with Mary, and he took her as his wife. He had to flee to Egypt, and he had to change it in the middle of the night. He had to come home, but not to the place he planned, to somewhere else. He had to be flexible. And sometimes that we feel like God is not speaking to us, but we can never, ever think that God is not involved in our lives. First, we need to understand this, that we exist for God and not God for us. And so if we're going to serve God well, then we need to be nimble and agile and ready to respond and flexible to what he wants for our lives. Here's my personality. My personality is I want to plan and organize and structure, get it set, get it healthy, and then leave it alone forever because I got it rolling, right? I want to go and I want to clean my garage and I'll work and I'll clean my garage and I'll get the shelves organized and I'll get it all organized. We fit the car in, we fit the weight equipment in, we fit in all of our lawn equipment, we fit it all perfectly organized, and then I want it to stay like that for the next 10 years and not have to reorganize it. It's not how it works. The car's in and out, the mowing every week, we're moving things around, and you've got to then go back and be flexible, reorganize. And that's how it is with God, is that sometimes we hear the once and we want to just stay in that pattern, and that's when it becomes religion over relationship, rules over grace, that we have to remain flexible in our following of the Lord and nimble in our relationship with him if we're going to serve him well. Let me ask in the room, how many of you have ever had God change the plans that you made? Absolutely. And doesn't it turn out way better when we respond instead of staying stiff and moving our direction? I believe that when we understand these four things, it will help change our perspective of what hearing from God means and will help us to hear from him more fully in our relationship with him. Now, how did Joseph hear from God? That's where we're really many want to land today. How did Joseph prepare his heart, prepare his spirit, prepare himself to hear the voice of God? Sam, how did he prepare himself and how did his life live in such a way that he was hearing from God multiple times and responding? If you're taking notes today, capture this, that Joseph was a worshiper. The New American Standard in Matthew 1:9 says Joseph was a righteous man. That there was a pattern set in his life for the Bible to call him a righteous man. Luke 2, verses 22, 41, and 42, it says, when their days of purification according to the law of Moses were completed, he brought them up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 41 says, now Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Verse 42, it says, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. That Joseph was a worshiper. Multiple times in this short glimpse of the life of Joseph, we only get just a glimpse, I mean just a flash of Joseph's life, and multiple times we see in his life that he's a worshiper. And my bet, what I would present to you today, is that not only did he worship at the Feast of Passover, not only did he worship in the temple or the tabernacle, not only did he worship in the temple, but I would argue that as a pattern of his life, he worshiped publicly, but he also worshiped privately as well. That I believe that that was the pattern of his life. Now, why is this important? You want to know why this is important? Because we need to understand what worship does. Worship puts us second and God first. Worship puts our eyes on someone else other than ourselves. And being second when God is first is always the best place to be. That it puts God first and us second. And these distractions that we have in life, we set them aside and we began to see the majesty of God and the beauty of God and the grace of God and the love of God and the compassion of God and the character of God. We began to see his nature, and it makes us understand that, man, he is amazing. I am not. And Lord, I want to put you first in my life. Worship is setting aside ourselves, putting God first, and it allows us to have a whole new perspective of life. This was Joseph's pattern, and the truth is it can be ours as well. Number two, if you're taking notes today, is this. How did Joseph hear from God? Is that he was quiet and still before the Lord. Now, this may not be apples to apples, but in Matthew 1:20, 2:13, 2:19, 2:22, these moments, four times in the Gospel of Matthew, God speaks to Joseph in a dream. It was in moments in which he was still and quiet before the Lord that that's when he heard. Again, it may not be apples to apples. He was in a dream, but the principle remains the same for us, is that if you want to hear from God, turn down the distractions of life and simplify. I love what Robert Herron says when he said, good listening is like tuning into a radio station. For the best results, you can only listen to one station at a time. He goes on to say that when I try to listen to my wife and I read a report, financial report from the office, that there's always confusion that happens. And so in our lives, guys, I want to challenge you, turn down the distractions. Slow down the process with our kids. Slow life down. And allow ourselves to be quiet and still before a mighty God who loves you so much and wants to speak to your heart. That I believe that's incredibly important for us. And I want to challenge you as a church today at Christmas time, in this season in which we get busy with lights and presents and parties and gatherings and get together and travel and family in and family out. I want to encourage you with this. Slow down, worship Jesus, and spend time listening to him. In fact, I was talking with a guy that's really a life mentor a few weeks ago, and we're just hanging out, we're talking, we're having coffee, and he said something that he's incorporated into his day is that for about 10 minutes a day, he sits down and everything's off. Doesn't have even have his Bible around him, not his phone, everything's off, and he just thinks about the Lord for about 10 minutes. That's outside of his devotional time, outside of his prayer time, outside of his sermon prep time. He says he just spent about 10 minutes just thinking about the Lord with no other stimuli around. And he said that's been some of the most powerful times in his life over the last year. Slow down. There's a pastor and author by the name of Chuck Swindoll. And he was in a season where he was incredibly rushed. That there was busyness and rush, and he was snapping at his staff. He said, I was really, really snappy with my wife, and that things were not just flowing because I felt so rushed and so pressured. And he said, I realized my life was out of balance when my daughter came to me and said, Daddy, Daddy, something really great happened and I want to tell you, but I know you're in a hurry, so I'll tell you really, really fast. And he said, it just stuck in my heart that I was acting incorrectly and life was out of balance. I looked at her, honey, and I looked at her and I said, honey, you don't have to rush. Say it really, really slowly. To which she replied, as only a child can, then Daddy, you have to listen slowly. With God, slow down and listen slowly. We want to hear God, but we want it on our schedule. We want to hear God, but we want it to be what we want him to say instead of making it a little more difficult instead of easier. We want all of these things, and I want to challenge you with this. Slow down our lives and listen to God slowly so that we can then follow through on what his plan is for us. The last thing is this, is obedience. Obedience, it opens the door for the next step. And we see that in the life of Joseph over and over and over and over. That when you obey, it opens the door for God to speak to you on the next step. And I really believe this, God wants to speak to you and God wants to help you. The psalmist says the same thing. He says in Psalms 124, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That when we obey, I know that he helps us in the next step to where we're going. This past week, we had a meeting, a minister's meeting on a committee I serve in Frisco, Texas. And there was this dinner that we had, and we're on our way, and Tamara and I are looking at the traffic and looking at the map and Siri's telling us what to do. And we end up trying to take a turn because we think that we can make it faster than Siri is telling us how we can make it. So we take an exit off and we're going down this road going sideways, and Siri keeps saying to us, make a U-turn at the next crossover and return to the route. And I'm like, I can do what I want. I was like, kept on pushing. You're not gonna tell me what to do. And I kept going to the next one. Make a U-turn and proceed to the root. Make a U-turn and proceed to the root. Make a U-turn and proceed to the root. And I went like 4 miles out of the way thinking I was going to make it faster. When it finally recalibrates, it was 35 minutes longer on the shorter route. So what did we do? We made a U-turn and proceeded to the original route, and we made it on time. But Siri wouldn't tell me the next step until I finished the first step. And sometimes it's the same way with God. We're saying, God, speak to me. He said, I already did. It's your turn to obey. And that when we obey, suddenly, oh, there's something else in the story of our life that he's writing, that we know the next step, and all of it takes is obedience. God, why isn't this working out? Well, are you obeying me on the things you already know? Why isn't that working out? Well, are you doing what I already spoke for you to do? Does it make sense today? That obedience leads us to hearing the next step. The point is this, is God is already speaking to you. I want you to know that across the room today. God is already speaking to you. Obey that. Do that. Submit to that. Follow through on that thing that he's speaking to you. Then he will continue to lead you down, lead you on the process of your life.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.